when talk about the power of the creative word. The power of the creative word. Because for us to produce fruit, God is saying, I'm bringing you into a place of fruitfulness. The place of fruitfulness is linked with his word. Because his word is the seed, but also the power that causes us to come into fruitfulness. I was woken up by the Lord several years ago in the, I think about 2 a.m. And he began to speak to me about this message. This is a message the Lord woke me up a few years ago and began to talk to. I could hear him talking. And then he said to me, won't you get up and write? 2 a.m. I was asleep. You wake me up. Now you want me to write. I had to be obedient and get up and take my paper because I was just listening. It's one of those rare, awesome encounters with God. But he said, I will teach you about the creative power of my word. So I have made it the power of the creative word, or you can call it the creative power of the word. You go to Genesis. He took me to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, which we all know, so we are not going to read. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. The earth was what? Without form and void. An empty waste with darkness covering it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. However, the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters, waiting for God's next move. And then God said, the word came forth. God said. Everything God created from then on came about because God said. Until the word came, there was chaos. There was void. And for many of us, before we came to Christ, until the word of God came and we heard it, our lives were full of void and darkness. In fact, without the word, which is light, there is darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. And there was chaos, emptiness. Until the word comes into your life, there is defeat. There is a struggle. You heard me say, I was saying, Lord, speak concerning the budget. Because until he speaks, I am lost. I don't know what is going on. So until the word of God comes, and comes not just as a logos, something you read in the Bible, but comes as something he's saying to you specifically, your life will continue to be in darkness. You will struggle. You will struggle with your Christian life. You will struggle with everyday life. You will struggle with everything. Because there is one thing alone that creates, and that's what? The word of God in the beginning. Amen. Amen. So God's word caused creation to take place. He said, let there be light. There was light. Then he said, let the waters under the heavens be collected in one place and let dry land appear. It happened. Let the earth begin to grow vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit yielding, trees yielding fruit. Whose seed is in it, each according to its kind upon the earth. And so it was. And so it was. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 tells us, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made not of things which are visible. So that the things, what we see, came out of what we don't see, the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that exists came out. So that when God says, I created the blacksmith who makes the weapon, and I'm saying no weapon formed against you shall prosper, we know that is true. Because he created everything. There is nothing that Satan can use against us which was not created by God. And God is able to take the power out of it so it will not harm us. Amen. He's saying what? That all that we see came out of what is not seen. And then suddenly God speaks again. This time it's different. He didn't say, let there be man. and there was man. But he said, let us do what? Make man. And let us make him in our image as male and female. So instantly you realize that man is of a different nature, a different caliber, on a different level altogether. Because man, even though he came out of the word, there was a process that took place to bring him into existence. Of all creation, the sun, the moon, the glories of the stars, the galaxy, there is none that was said, it was said of, was created in the image of God. He said what? Let us, this is the Father, when you look in the Hebrew, it says what? Elohim, which is the triune God. It means gods. Let us, and gods, let us, Holy Father, Son, and Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness. In our image. Your child can look like you, but not behave like you. You agree with me? He can have your image, but not have your character. But God said, let us make man in our image. Like us. Look like us. Not physically, because we don't know how God looks like. But in character, in constitution, that God has what? Active power. Power to make decision. Has a will, has emotions, has a soul. In the area of the soul, we see these things. God loves. God, all the things which you don't find, you can't find a mountain loving or the mountain loves me. No. But you find human beings. The attributes of God, we find God put in man. The character of God to be kind, to be merciful, to be good, to be gentle. These God put in man. So man was a different creature. He was created in God's image and after God's likeness. It says, let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts and all the earth. Everything that the word has produced, let us put man above it all. David said, what is man in Psalm 8 that you are mindful? Who are you? By man, put yourself in that place. Put yourself in that place. Who am I that you are mindful of me? As a son of man, a human being, yet you have crowned me with glory. And you have placed all things under my feet. So why are we on top, underneath all things? If God has placed all things under our feet, why are we living as if the whole world is on top of us? Hallelujah. And we are scraping and we are scratching and we are living as if there is no hope. But God, when he created man, made this declaration to give man authority over everything that was created. And the Bible says, not only did the triune God say, let us, God actually created man in his image and likeness. He created him male and female. It means that whether you're a woman or you're a man, you were created in the same image of God. It is sin which caused this man-woman thing, that women are inferior, all of that. That's another story altogether. But once you are a human being, you need to know that God's original intent is that you will be like him and that you will have authority and power and that you will reign over the earth and all creation. Adam and Eve were created, man. When God talks about man, Adama. Adama means humanity, that which came from soil. God created Adama, humanity, as male and female. We're talking about the creative power of the word. The journey from nothingness, from void, has taken us through creating light, sun, moon, vegetation, mountains, trees, animals, the sea being separated from all of that the word has done. Now the word came to a place and brought forth by process human beings, giving the responsibility to maintain the earth and also to reproduce. God was no longer going to say, let there be. But through man, God was going now to take control over the earth. So that as it is in heaven, so will it be on. Are you with me? Are you understanding me? It's important you understand this. So man was created to be like God. God blessed them in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. He said, be like me. This is the Amplified. Be fruitful. So it means God is fruitful. Are you with me? Multiply. God multiplies. At least he created us in his image. And he said, fill the earth. Reproduce. Reproduce and fill the earth. Subdue it. Using the resources God I have given you. And have dominion over fish of the sea, birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. This is the commissioning, the mandate given to us. This is how we are meant to live. So man and woman were one with God. When we were created to have the same thought as God. To do the same thing as he did. To decide like he decides. Because he created us in his image. He created us in his likeness. He created us to think like him. To act like him. He created us to behave like him. And he said not only that, now go and multiply yourself and cover the earth. So he will look up from above and see people like him, kind to each other. Now kindness is not a straightforward common thing. Everyone for himself will become selfish rather than other-centered. But God's original intention that man would be like him. And a man being like him, God entrusted the maintenance of order, that man will maintain order, yes, upon the earth. That man will be in charge, will be in charge of creation. Now we are struggling. The number of wildlife shows I've seen where they say this particular creature is extinct, not because of disease, but because man destroyed the forest in which they, we are on a course to destruction because of sin. Instead of maintaining the order, instead of taking care, man was put, let's say, as a guardian and caretaker of the earth. We now are destroying it because of sin. God gave power, authority, dominion to them. Even the names, whatever Adam called this, God gave him power to even name everything. And whatever he called it, it was so. Whatever Adam spoke, it was so. Are you with me? And God said, whatever you name it, it was so. If he had called the mountains rat, it would have been so. Because God gave him what? Created him like himself and gave him authority. God was not going to micromanage the earth. That was not his intention, to micromanage the earth. His intention was that he would have one like himself on the earth, maintaining law and order, but in connection with him. And so he said to man, do not seek autonomy from me, even though I have given you the power and the authority and the privilege of being the guardian over the earth. You cannot do it when in being autonomous. You cannot be autonomous from me and do it. You cannot separate yourself from me. It has to be done through me. Hallelujah. I want to say this. How were they to walk with God? How were they to lead their everyday lives with God? How were they to fulfill their purpose with God? They had no Bibles. There was no written word given to them. They had no Bibles like you and I. or books, plenty books written to explain why. How were they to do it? Because it will give us a clue as to how we are to do it. We're talking about the power of the creative word. They were to be led by the Spirit and the Word of God. God said, listen to what I say. Live in obedience to my instructions. God would come, the Bible says, in the cool of the night, have fellowship. That's their prayer time. That's their prayer time. Sticking to the Word of God, seeking instruction, guidance from Him. We've not come this way before, Lord. It's a new thing. We ourselves are new. This assignment is new. How do? We have to lean on the one who created us. Lean on the one who gave us the assignment. Lean on the one who called us. Lean on God. And that was God's original intention. We are privileged to even have a book. And then to have the Holy Spirit as well. But they had nothing except to look up to the Lord. They would know God. They were to know God. They were to listen to Him and walk in obedience. They would know God's thoughts, His ways, His actions. Because they had been created in His image. And there was constant communion between them and God. In modern terminology, you would say that they had a God chip in them. There was a God chip in them. So they could, it's like the remote control and the TV. There's a chip in the TV that links the remote control to the TV. So you press the remote, the TV responds. And that's how it's to be like with us and God. That the God chip in us should work, but it's gone faulty because of sin. Yeah. So you press and press and press. Like this morning, we're trying to get this on. It wasn't working. You press and press and press. But God trusted them to do the job He had given them, so long as they stay connected in tune and in fellowship with Him. They had been given the ability, the capacity, they had the capability, they had the authority, they had the right. They could get on with the job. Anything they said, God honored and brought into being. They had a creative power within them. Creative power. And that creative power was commissioned to them. Whatever you call this, whatever you say, I give you free hand. So far as you remain in obedience with Him. Unfortunately, that power was lost. It was lost due to sin. As the minute they got disconnected, the minute you unplug your fridge from the socket, you know it's only a matter of time. Everything in it will rot. Is what has happened to humanity. The minute the power, the connection to God was broken, everything started going downhill. When you read Genesis, you remember they used to live till they were 800. Now even a child can die. We've come down, down, down. We are struggling to hit 70 because God has said now, okay, 70. If you are lucky, you will go beyond 70. But we are on a downhill because sin has taken root. We have missed the mark. We have disconnected. God continued to seek. I'm still giving you a background. I said we are talking about what? The power of the creative word, or the creative power of the word. God sought to bring man to a place where the word, where the connection will come back so that man can flow and be like God upon the earth. He met a man called Abraham, a man who heard God speak and believed. And it was accounted to me as him as righteousness. God said, now I found a man who will hear and do as I see. And through Abraham's descendants, God decided to start again, to show man what it would be like if he was central. Hallelujah. Amen. Unfortunately, I'm rushing through this because I want to bring us to the real issue we're talking about. This is a background, because this is how the Lord showed me as I lay there that night. He was asleep and the Lord was just talking and I was writing. Israel refused to walk with God on the terms God was talking about. And we are like, many of us are like that. We refuse to walk with God on the terms. On the terms that we will abandon all sin. We will abandon the world. We will abandon our own right and self and give our all to Him. That we will make Him back the center of our lives. Israel refused to do that. They said to God, we still want to hear your word, but tell somebody to tell us. And that was when the law was given. God had the law written on stone, not even on their heart, but on stone, and handed it to them. Galatians 3 says what? What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. The law, don't do this, thou shalt not do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Moses, when he was tired, added more even to what God was saying. Because you slap me, you're slapping each other. Okay, if somebody slaps you, slap them back. And leave me alone. Leave me out of it. Someone kicks you, kick them back. An eye for an eye. He pull your eye out, pull his out. And it was all included of the law. Galatians says us, and the law for that season was the word of God. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
It did not create anything. It did not produce anything in their lives. It did not make them any more like God. They struggled because if you miss one law, you've missed all. So they struggled. And that is why as believers, we can never live under law. We can never live our lives like, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to. No, because we will miss it. But we are to live our lives with the Spirit of God indwelling us, living through us, inside out, with the Word of God central, where the Word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet, guiding us, directing us, bringing us into a greater place of revelation of who Jesus is and of who we are. Because when we see Him, we will see ourselves. But these were put under law. The word was given to them on stone. And stone doesn't grow anything. Are you with me? You remember that four soils. The first soil was what? Wayside. The birds would just pick. And then stony ground didn't produce anything. If you see a weed, something growing out of a stony place, it's a weed.
That's right.
It is a weed. It's nothing that productive. It's a weed. This is the form in which the word was given as the law to guide man. Because of transgression. It says that the law was given unto the seed to whom the promise was made should come. So even with that scripture, there's a hint that that was not God's original intention, but that God hoped that He would make things better. The word of God was given to man in instructions. Rather than in relationship. With Adam and Eve, there was nothing written. It was through relationship. But with Israel, it became what was written, not relationship. Even to approach God was a palaver. Because there was a tabernacle and there was this, you can only come this far. Where do you then approach Him to relate to Him? And you are so busy bringing your sheep because you know you've messed up that you are so busy bringing sheep to be killed to apply to you that you are not getting anywhere near God. And you're striving. As believers, we should not be at this place. As believers, we should be above this place. Because God has taken us out of the law and brought us by grace in Christ Jesus into relationship with it. Hebrews 4 tells us that we do not have a high priest who is unfamiliar with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted like us. So let us therefore boldly, he ripped the veil apart that we can boldly come into the presence of God to find grace to help us. Whatever the situation is, there is no barrier between us and God. The only barrier will be sin. And once we've dealt with sin by the blood, we can approach God free, having an expectation that he will hear us. Hallelujah. God continued to seek a way to restore that creative power until we come to John chapter 5. And I want us to turn to that scripture, John chapter 5. Sorry, John chapter 4, from verses 1 to 5, and then we'll read verse 14. It says, in the beginning. So in the it's taking us back, isn't it? John 4. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1. Yes, John chapter 1. Sorry. Verse 1 to 5 and then verse 14. John chapter 1. Let's go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's read verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. It says what? In the beginning was the Word. So everything I've said is encapsulated in these verses. That really in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. Everything was made through the Word. There is nothing that will be made in your life except by the Word. Amen. There is nothing that will come into existence. God has finished creation. Yes. He's rested. So everything that we want to see manifested in our lives must come via the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came. God allowed the Word to come into manifestation so that we could see him, so that we could touch him, so that we could know that I can now have access to God. It says what? He was the Son of God, the image of God. He dwelt among us, and we did what? We beheld him as the glory of God. So it gives me an eye. Let's think of this carefully. God created me in his image, but I'm damaged. Someone said, if you've never seen an aeroplane before and you came across a plane crash, would you be able to picture what an aeroplane looked like? You wouldn't. You wouldn't, because it's damaged, badly damaged. That is humanity. So how do I know what I'm meant to be like as a human being? I can only look at another aeroplane, a picture of, if somebody showed me another aeroplane, then I would say, oh, okay, this is what it's meant to look like. So God showed us a perfect human being, showed us what he had in mind. When the Word came forth to produce, the Word came alive. He was made what? Flesh. And he lived among us. He looked like God. He talked like God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen God. If you, you know, everything Jesus did was to represent the Father, was to represent God to us. The Word did, he went beyond creation to come into manifestation. I always say that if you want to see Jesus, pick up your Bible. Take the scriptures. And you will see him in the scriptures. You will see, he will become light. Through Christ, we will become reconnected again. Through Jesus, we will become, he'll be the link, the cord between us, the socket. Your fridge is reconnected again. And then the power flows and is able to function. We are able to function as God intended. Jesus met a centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. The centurion said, can you come and heal my servant? What did Jesus say? Okay, I'm coming. The man said, no, don't come. I am a man under authority. And I speak and it happens. And I know that you are also a man under authority. So speak. You don't need to come all the way to where my servant is. Speak. Are you a man or woman under authority? Because if you are, all you need to do is to speak the word. He said, speak the word. Speak the word. And Jesus said what? In all of Israel, I have not come across anyone with faith. He was not even an Israelite. Speak the word, because you are what? A man under authority. Adam was a man under authority, and he could speak the word and it would happen, because he had placed himself under authority. When the policeman places himself under authority, the policeman in his uniform, everything he does, the law will back him, except commit a crime. When he commits a crime, then he's brought himself from under authority and he's on his own. Are you with me? So if we stay in the will and purpose of God and we stay under authority, everything we will say, God will honor, because we are echoing what he's saying. Amen. Are you with me? Because we want to come to the place of fruitfulness. And we cannot come to the place of fruitfulness without standing as people of God, having heard what he has said. What do we do with it? We cannot come to the place of fruitfulness unless we attend to the word he has given us. If we just leave it and we just sit there and we don't rise up to take what God is saying, then we can't blame God. On that final day, we will have no excuse. Amen. So for us, we have a dual advantage. The word is given to us in written. That's the logos. Written instruction. But more importantly, the word now lives in us. Christ in me. The word that became flesh now lives in me. So for me, the word is not on stone. It's on my heart. And the heart will produce, it will reproduce, because it's not so stone. It's a heart prepared by God for God. If only I will continue to surrender to him. Hallelujah. In Christ, God can lead us again. In relationship and through fellowship, we're getting to know God, to know how God thinks, to know his ways. He said, my ways are not your ways. But if he lives in me, he will guide me. He will direct me. If I am attentive to his word, then I will live according to his will and ways. Jesus said, if you live in me, that is abide in me, dwell in me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, do what? Ask. Speak forth. And it shall be done. The same principles, God doesn't change. If you are connected to me, all you need to do is to open your mouth. Hallelujah. I wanted to demonstrate it to us. This is me without God. How do I sound? A lot of noise. Empty barrels make the most noise. Hallelujah. Now, this is God. Yeah? God fills with himself. Now, I live as one filled with the fullness of God. How do I sound? This is how I sound. Without God, I sound. The noise is different. And I'm living my life making a lot of noise. It doesn't sound like God. It doesn't reproduce anything. It doesn't bring forth anything. I'm just noise. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and nothing is happening. I cannot even the simplest sickness heal. I can't heal headache. Jesus healed the sick, did all kinds of miracles. I cannot heal headache, toothache, but I'm making a lot of noise. But then you have the one filled with God, and his sounds. The sound is clearer. You can hear it. It's clearer. It's not thumping or anything. And I'm seeing that everywhere I go, I speak. And people hear that distinct sound because it's flowing from what is inside of me. What is inside of me has changed the sound I'm making. And it's reproducing and producing fruit. Hallelujah. But one day I decide to let God fill me. I decide to let God fill me. Halfway. You'll find my son, sound is changing. It's changing. It will be. We're getting there. It's still, you can tell the difference. But as I'm filled, you find that the sound I'm echoing is distinct, getting more and more distinct. So the more I'm filled with the word, the more I'm filled with the spirit, the more I begin to sound like him. So when I speak forth, it is what? Reproduce. It will create because I am like him. Because I am like him. You want things to change in your life? Then get to this place. Ask the Lord. Let your spirit connect me with you. I surrender myself. I surrender my will. I give my all that you will take place. The word will dwell in me. If I abide in him and he abides in me, there is no beginning or end. I am one with the word. Then I will speak forth and it shall be done. It will create. You know, you're watching a movie and you see the Sopranos. It's usually in the cartoons. And the woman sings, ooh, and suddenly glass begin to shatter. The woman has hit a frequency which is the same as the glass. And that's what causes the glass to respond by shattering. When your frequency gets to the level of God, you will cause things to happen in your life, in the lives of others. That's what makes the difference between those who are up and about. They pray, they lay hands on the sick, things happen. They pray, answers happen. And you sit and you're praying and praying and nothing is happening. Why? Hit the frequency. Know who you are. Rise up in that. God is holy. Live holy lives. God is pure. Separate and sanctify yourself. God wants us to get to this place. I want to talk briefly about faith. Because I want us to pray even for 5-10 minutes for ourselves. Because I don't want a monotonous everyday church. We come, it's the same. We sing a few songs. Then that's not what I want. I want God to move in our services. I want people to come and get saved. People to come and get delivered. I want praise and worship. Julia is singing. Suddenly people are being healed. Because the song, the sound coming from her is confronting and is creating in the realms. This is what God is seeking with us. And God is seeking people through whom he will do this. I don't know, are you a candidate? I am certainly a candidate. And I am desiring it and I'm pursuing it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to talk about faith. the offspring of the Word. Faith is a child. The Word births faith, is the offspring of the Word. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith. We need faith to get to this place. But again, we can't have faith without the same Word. The Word that Jesus spoke to the centurion. The centurion didn't say, okay, let me go and get my car or horse or whatever it is they sat on in those days, so we can go to my home and let's see. The centurion, no. He said, no, I know you. So just speak. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, oh, you are, how did you, he said, you're a man of faith. You're a man of faith. You've heard about me, the Word. This is your first time of encountering me. But you recognize me. Do we recognize the Word? Even if it's staring at us in our faith, in our face. But faith comes by hearing. Not just hearing casually. It comes by hearing. The word hear in the Hebrew means to do. To listen is to obey. To hear is to do. Faith comes by paying attention to the word and doing it. And not just any word, not the one written on paper, but the one coming forth from the presence of God. If we take what God has been saying to us from the end of the year, how is that building faith in you? That's the question every individual would have to ask themselves. How are you attending to it? When you walk out of church, how do you process it? How are you engaging with God concerning that word? The Lord, you have said in blessing, you will bless me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lord, shine your face upon me. Lord, you said it. I believe it. I am expecting great things in my life this year. I am expecting to receive tangible blessings, oh God. Father, not just material things, but transformation even in my life, bringing me to a greater level in you. That people will access you through my life. Hallelujah. How are you processing it? Because faith, that word came to build faith in you. Yeah. And faith will be built up if you take that word. You're listening to it. You're listening to it. Every time you listen to it, you hear another dimension. You're praying it. You're praying it. You're praying it. And you're speaking it forth to create what God has said. Because that is why the word came, to create things in your life. The word came to create things in your life. But if you live and disengage from that word, it will produce nothing in you. But let the word take seed in your heart. Till the ground of your heart. Till it, speak to it, water it with the word. Look for other scriptures that God has said concerning it. Amen. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, from verse 11 to 14. Let's read it together. Now, what am I saying? Sorry. Let's read it together. Now, what am I commanding you? Sorry. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. In fact, what I'm saying, the Lord saying, is not too difficult or beyond your reach. You are able to do it. Because when you hear something negative about yourself, for instance, if the doctor should say, oh, you have this disease, trust me, you will be meditating on it, you will be telling others, you will be planning towards that, and yet when God says, I'm about to bless you, you sit back and you don't take that word, you don't meditate on it, you are not speaking, you're not telling people, God said, he's about to bless me. Have you heard? I went to church and God said, No, but if the doctor should say, oh, you've got diabetes, you'll find you're telling everybody, you tell people, I'm diabetic, I'm this, and this. Hallelujah. So you are able to speak what you have heard. And God is, so the writer of the scripture is saying what? Now, let's start. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. The word is not in heaven. It's not across the sea. It's not, God has put it in your mouth. To hear is to do. Hallelujah. So when Paul was talking in Romans 10 about the word, faith coming by hearing and hearing the word, in Romans chapter 10, verse 3 to 8, he reminded them of this scripture. He said, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we preach. Christ is not far from us. He lives within us. The word is not far from us. Even in the written form is near us. But unless the written form gets into our heart, it will create nothing. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you getting it? And we need to actively engage with the word, so that what God has said he will do with us will come into manifestation. That what God has said, all the promises he has made to us as a church, they will come into manifestation. The boldness we have prayed for, unless we take what the scripture says of us. I mean, God's not going to just raise a wand, abracadabra, and then we are bold. No, take the word. Discover who you are. Discover who you are in him. And stand firm. When the disciples in Acts chapter, is it chapter 3? They were arrested for healing somebody. The Bible says they observed them, that they were unlearned. They were illiterates. But they marveled at their boldness and at their eloquence. And then they realized they had been with Jesus. When you go home, read it. It is not your level of education. It is not your degree or lack of it. It is nothing of where your background is. It is having him, the word, in your heart. He said when they were before the learned people, and Peter spoke eloquently, and they marveled at their boldness, knowing that they were fishermen, they were illiterates. The Bible says what? They realized, these men have been with Jesus. That's what makes the difference. It produces faith. It produces boldness. It transforms you into something you never thought you would be. And your life will become more productive for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What is the way forward? I'm just going to look at a couple of scriptures and then I'm done. What is the way forward? Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. Let the word flow from your heart through your mouth. Speak it forth. Let it flow, dwell and flow richly in you. Be a person of the word. Be a person. Speak it. Let it come forth, because every time you speak it, it is going to produce something on your behalf. Become eloquent. Become well vested in the word. Become one. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. If you're a medical student and you're seeking to be a doctor, you learn the various Latin words. They are Latin. And you have to learn. A pharmacist has to learn these things so that they can be eloquent. Because when somebody comes and they're looking for medication or whatever, it's not now you're going to collect your big books and look at, you will even fail your exam. You will never become a doctor unless you let the knowledge flow through you. Hallelujah. And in the same way, as Christians, exceptional Christians, through whom God is doing mighty things, we need to get into the Word. And we need to come to a place where we believe it, we stand on it, we speak it, we live it. We live it, and now we're teaching others. Like I said on Wednesday, that you should start getting together in groups and teaching each other. Because the more you share, the more you get. As you're speaking it, in songs, in hymns, sing the word. Open your Bible, sing it. Whoever told you that you're supposed to be quiet and is a liar. Because the Bible says to the Jews, speak it forth, declare it, shout to them with a voice of triumph. Declare it, which I'm going to read in a minute. So that's the first thing to do. Job chapter 22, I'll read from verse 1 to 28. I wanted us to read it but together, but time, because I want us to pray even for 5 minutes. Job says this, acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. Acquaint yourself with the word and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and good shall come to you. You shall prosper if you acquaint yourself. Receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth. That's the word. And lay up his word in your heart. Receive the instruction. Receive the word. And let it, what? Be rooted in your heart. If you return to the Almighty and submit to him, you will be built up. So you find yourself being built up. If you put away unrighteousness from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, considering them of little worth, and you make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver. So if the things in your life, you replace them with the Lord, then you will have delight in the Almighty and you lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you, and you will also pay your vows. You shall also decide a thing. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine all your ways. This is a promise from the Lord to us. That if I set myself right according to the word, if I set myself to live right according to the word, and if I replace the things that I have put in my life above God, if I get rid of them and replace them with God, that God becomes even my gold and my silver. He will build me up. And when I pray, he will hear me. Not beyond even praying and he hearing me. That's a different thing. God, please help me. God, please help me, or help me do this. Oh Lord, help the bank to help me. That's our prayer. We are supplicating to God. We will do that. God will hear us. But beyond that, it says we will even move higher to become like him. That you will decide a thing. When you go home, meditate on this. Is a scripture. If Jackie was here, she'll be jumping, because me and her, we spent hours in this scripture. Once on mission, this was our scripture. Trying to grab it so that we can come to this place. You will do what? Decide on a thing. You are now, you taking the decision. I decide on this. And then you will decree it. You will speak it forth. And what will happen? It shall be established. It shall happen. It shall come to pass. And the favor of God will shine upon you. This is the restoration of that power. That the word, the creative power of the word will be restored through you. That we will speak things in our communities, in our homes, in our families. We will declare peace and peace shall come. We will declare healing and healing shall come. We will declare restoration. Jesus said it to us in a different way. That I give you the keys to the gates of heaven. We go to heaven and we find the mind of God. What is heaven saying about this situation? And we come on earth and we establish it. Because what we bind and forbid will be bound and forbidden in earth. What God has bound and forbidden, as we establish it here, we will see it happen. And what God has released, peace, joy, healings, because his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. We will see it. Our families will be saved. In our workplace, we declare the peace of God. And this thing works, but for time, I can give you testimony after testimony. After testimony. It works. We need to come out from the old Adam, Adamic nature of sin. We need to come out from the old Israelite nature of the word on the stone. It's outside of me. I read it and I'm done. Come into the Christ-like, the second Adam, the Bible calls it. Let the word dwell in you. Let it build you up. Let it transform you. And you'll find that because he's taken your life, you're looking like him. You smell like him. You speak like him. Bible says we are the fragrance of Christ. Everywhere you go, people even reach out to you. I've been in a situation, and again, if Jackie was here, she would be, where people wanted to touch me. Touch me. They didn't want to actually. They were touching me. Just to make sure I'm real. Because they said we can see Jesus. What did I do? I just preached the message. What they heard, only God knows. But what came forth from my mouth touched something and began to build and create things in their lives. Let us strive to come to this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We can possess the promises of God through the word, in prayer, and in our confession. You need the power of confession. Declare it. Speak it. What has the word said? You're afraid of dying. The word has said, I will not die but live to declare the glory of God. Which one are you going to speak? Who are you? Amen. We can only see things change in our lives as we speak forth and declare it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me leave it here. There's a few other things I could have added. But the Lord is encouraging us to come to this place. When you go home, think of and ask the Lord, what did you have in mind at the beginning when you created the first man and woman? Before sin came, because in Christ Jesus, that has been restored. If Christ is in you, then that has been restored. And that should give you the boldness and the confidence. We have power to trample on serpents. Jesus said, I give you the power to tread on the works of darkness. We can do it when we let the word, Christ himself, take residence in us. And we manifest him by speaking forth in Jesus' name.